You're listening to Footy Roundup, Rob Serjanik and Matt Tidcombe. Matty, I guess rest in peace to yet another Toronto FC season at this point.
Officially, no, I guess, but unofficially, yeah, we may as well stick a fork in her because she's done. You know, two games left, they need 6 points, and they need Columbus to lose both their games. Chances of A, Toronto winning both games, probably not all that high. Chance of Columbus losing both games, probably not all that high.
Yeah, I'm feeling there's a better shot that Matt Tidcombe's going to get a date with Kate Upton at this point than that happening.
I'll sacrifice TFC for that.
So where do they go from here, Matt? It's the same old with the Reds. I know you were at the game against the Dynamo, I guess, yeah. Which for all intents and purposes, we mentioned not winning that one killed you regardless of what, you know, ended up happening in New York. What was your opinion of the match while you were there?
Well, we spoke about on the show last time about going into that game, TFC had to win. There was no ifs or buts about it. Yeah. They had to win that game.
I think I even said I don't want to hear any nonsense about a draw, and then they didn't even muster that.
Exactly. I mean, big shout out to Ian for hooking me up with a ticket, but as we were walking in, he said to me, you know, this is probably TFC's biggest game in franchise history.
Yeah.
And then they put out an absolute clunker of a performance.
Oh, it's almost fitting. Biggest game in franchise history and just lay an absolute egg on your home field.
They were so bad. I sat there and we were like, how do they put out this kind of performance when everything is on the line?
Yeah.
They know that they have to win this game. And
for all intents and purposes, all the horses were back. The foe is disappointing, misses a penalty. They play like a good portion of the match, 40 minutes or so up a man?
More like 35, yeah. 43. Yeah, but they were just bad, I guess. I mean, Houston's goalie had a blinder. Let's not take that away from him because he played really, really well. Obviously, the penalty save was a big part of that.
And a couple of saves, though, by default.
Yeah, it wasn't a good penalty.
No.
But in his defense a little, the referee just lost all control.
Yeah, there was a big delay overtaking it, right?
Yeah,
with the substitution, I think it was?
Well, it was a sending off, right?
Because the defender got sent off. You got a straight ref for pulling him down.
And then the Houston players just started complaining and moaning about it wasn't a red card and blah, blah, blah. And the ref was, I don't know what he was doing. He was faffing around. He was running to his linesman. Houston then wanted to make a substitute, which the referee for some reason allowed. But a high school ref knows
you let the penalty go first.
It was an absolute mess, to be quite honest with you. It was bad. But to me, the referee should just be booked. I mean, I don't know. There's probably at least half a dozen Houston guys surrounding the ref and linesman. Just book them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then just run away. Just book them all. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's common sense. You know, we're all sat in the crowd. We're not being paid to referee this game. And we all know they should be booking all those guys. But, you know, and so that, I guess, you know.
And
I mean,
it threw off his timing and mental
when you have to stand
little,
around for six, 7 minutes waiting to take a penalty. Like, come on. So, yeah. A little bit of sympathy for Defoe there, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. He's being paid to bang those goals in the back of the net. And that was a terrible miss. The bigger miss as well, just as big a miss, was late in the game when he basically hit a field goal instead.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, man. Like, he buries that shot 8 times out of 10. Or at least it's the target 9, 10. Like, him not even make the goalie work, but then to blaze it 15 feet over the bar. Like, man, oh, man. Like, it was like, honestly, watching an NFL place kicker just attempt a field goal from, 20. Like,
it's not going to help the cynics out there thinking that Defoe is, you know, kind of mailing it in and then seeing
no,
a performance
like
that.
No, not at all. I mean, just not the kind of performance you want from him. But, I mean, it wasn't just him, though, let's be honest. I thought Michael Bradley had a pretty poor game. Couldn't get any crosses, any corners over the first defender, which, I mean, there's no excuse for a player of his quality, but any professional, even amateur player, to not get a corner kick or free kick over the first defender.
How discouraging was a lack of even just creating chances a man up when you had to have it, too?
Right.
Like, there were large spells of just kind of pissing around in the midfield. And,
right.
You know, you're not even hanging on to a tie here and trying to get the 2-1. You're losing
at
home in a game you have to have. You're just screwing around.
They had some good chances. I think Luke Moore missed a wide open header in the first half. They had some good chances here and there. But like you said, for a team that was up 10 men, I didn't think they created enough. You know, I think all energy was sapped out when Defoe missed that penalty.
Yeah.
They had half an hour left, 35. Well, when injury time was added on, which I think was 7 or 8 minutes.
It was, yeah.
You know, I mean, they got 30 to 35 minutes of the extra man, and, you know, Defoe blazed one over. The goalie made a really good save on a Gilberto, I think it was Gilberto header.
I remember the chance, onto the post.
Yeah. So the goalie did make some good saves, but I didn't think TFC created enough. I thought Jackson was just brutal. You know, I'm not a big big fan of Jackson.
But I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Yeah, he had a clunker. A lot of them did, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, just all around a mess against Houston. We haven't even got to the New York game.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say, too. And then they followed up with a stinker there after, you know, my favorite man, Caldwell, and all the other characters, all the other cast of clowns before going to New York saying, you know, there's still everything to play for. Did any sane, rational fan in their right mind not see that as a loss, regardless of what the player said?
Yeah, I mean, when you're 3-0 down after, well, just going into halftime, you're shut it down. It just sums up TFC, really. I mean, it doesn't matter what you did in the second half, get a goal back through Rosario. It just doesn't matter because they didn't get the results they needed to. I think you could have, to some extent, you could have argued. I mean, it's all ifs and buts in the past now because that's basically how supporting TFC is and following them.
It's all revisionist history. If this happened, then maybe this, and we could have blank. At the end of the day, you didn't.
That's exactly it, right? But I was just going to say, you know, if they'd got something, the win against Houston, losing to New York wouldn't have been the end of the world. But by and by, they lost to Houston, they lost to New York. They play Montreal next. I mean, if they can't win that game and at least do something to keep their season alive technically, we may as well just go home because it's brutal. They just fell apart completely. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, we were sat in here, I don't know what, 2-3 months ago, and we were talking about TFC's playoff chances, and I think you had them at maybe 70%, and I was like 80-85, pushing 90%. Like, we basically had them in the playoffs. Yeah. And now we look
I think we
here,
both did leave that escape clause for TFC being TFC.
You always have to be an escape clause for TFC. But, you know, we were so... I mean, I know I was more confident than you that they were going to get
Make sure
in.
You have the life vest packed for when you jump off the ship, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but, you know, furthermore to this, Rob, it's not just, you know, the failures again for another lost season. I mean, we could argue again that this has actually still been their best season, which is what we mentioned last week, which is kind of embarrassing to say, considering the fortunes of this club. But it's moving forward. You know, they're expanding BMO. They're making that place huge.
For season tickets, for who? They're not going to be able to get people. Like, I mean, steadily, tickets have been declining there, Matt. This infusion of, the bloody big deal. Like, it's supposed to change everything. And it did do the influx of tickets. And this failed, too.
Like, I went with, along with Ian and another one of his friends. I brought one of my friends as well from class. And, you know, he paid $6 for his ticket.
Yeah.
Like, with the start of the season, you had to pay $60 minimum to get into that stadium.
People are becoming extremely disenfranchised here. And exactly. Like I've mentioned before, this isn't the Leafs with the tradition and the history, being embedded in the city's culture where people are going to tolerate the scrap. It's another season, Maddie. They don't make it. What, they got maybe a 2% chance still in theory?
Technically, they're alive.
But we know they're not going to make it at the end of the day. And now it's 8 seasons, no playoffs. You know, Montreal and Vancouver both made the playoffs in their second year. You know, I wrote an article actually for Red Nation on this topic, and I don't see how there's any way with no playoffs, after all this marketing, money, and, you know, corporate spin, how is the season anything but a failure if they don't make it?
The other thing, like I was thinking, though, is, you know, as of right now, it seems as if Bradley might stick around. Mm-hmm. Who really knows? Come January when Benfica...
I wonder how many TFC fans care right now at that point.
You know, even some, you know, maybe the New York side. Whoever might... I'm sure someone's going to come for Bradley, so we'll see if he really is going to stick around. By the way, he's a good leader, that guy. I know we mentioned last week how he's not captain and he really should be, but he always faces the media. But
what do you think about his performance as a player, though?
Well, like I said, he had a clunker against Houston.
No, not just in the game. I mean, as a season overall, like, was he worth the investment? I mean, Toronto's still in the same place. They're out of the playoffs again.
Right.
It's hard to say.
I think he's been worth the money more than Defoe has.
Yeah.
But then again, you could argue that, you know, Defoe's dozen goals and TFC aren't even sniffing the playoffs. Yeah. So it's... But then again, you know, Defoe missed almost half the season. Well, yeah, 40% of the season. So, you know, you want to look at it one way or the other. But my point I was going to make about Bradley is, you know, if he sticks around, and let's just assume Gilberto sticks around as one of their other... That's two DPs. We're going to go on the assumption Defoe's gone, because I think that is pretty much going to happen. You know, if they can't make the playoffs this year with Bradley and Defoe...
When are you going to make it?
When are you going to make it again? Yeah. Or what? Not
period.
Again. Period.
Yeah.
When are you going to make it? Because, I don't know, let's say they bring in... another Danny Dicchio kind of level player from England, you know, that's just not going to get it done if Defoe can't get you there.
No,
albeit
that's,
he missed, you know, a lot of time. But
that's my thinking. Even if they replace a Defoe, I mean, absolute best case scenario, you're trading like for like, and you couldn't make the playoffs with someone who was better.
Yeah, so let's say it was TFC bringing David Villa, instead of the new New York.
I wouldn't think that'd be enough to put him in.
I mean, they just got to fix other stuff. Like, I think some of their players are worth keeping. You know, we mentioned, obviously, Bradley. Gilberto, I think, is turning around. Luke Moore, I think, has been their best player this year.
I think Morrow's a nice piece at the back, too.
Morrow, I like. Yeah. Jackson can go. The goalie, I like Bender. I know some people aren't big fans. I'm quite all right with him. contrary to Rob's belief, I actually do enjoy Stephen Caldwell. Adoro can stick around, but like some other pieces.
But is Caldwell going to stay if you give the armband realistically?
Where's Caldwell going to go?
Well, that's my point. So how good can he be?
Well, there's also that. Bradley
still has places to go if he wants to.
I don't know. I mean, just to me, it's like, you know, like D-Row has one goal this year. Like, come on, man.
Well, D-Row's finished, though. He was a marketing ploy of, you know, being that extra bench piece to come home. And then all of a sudden, the team's like such a gong show as usual that they need to feature him at the end. Right. Like, I don't think that was ever the intention. No, it was bring him on the 85th to try to, like, you know, nick a goal somewhere. Not, hey, D-Row, we need two goals from you to get us in the playoffs. He's trying to say, like, it's not 2009. Like, what do you want me to do?
I'm not at that level anymore.
Exactly.
I don't know. I mean, technically, you know, they play Montreal this weekend. They have to win. Columbus is two games for the record. Are away in New York, so maybe New York can do Toronto a favor there. Then they host Philadelphia.
Realistically, so. I think a fitting end to the season in a way, and just TFC in general, Matt. Columbus duffs both games, and Toronto TFC still doesn't take win, care of business.
Like, New England have to go. Toronto have to go to New England on the last day of the season, or the last weekend of the season, because MLS's schedule is a mess. But, and that's going to, I mean, New England already had their playoff spot secure.
Yeah.
So maybe that might be in Toronto's benefit. But, I mean, what's the point in looking at that game if they, you know, they got to play Montreal and they got to win that game? I mean, we'll be sat here in a week talking about that Montreal game and whether they're officially done or if there is still some sliver of hope in Toronto, but I'm not betting on it.
It seems unlikely. I mean, the million-dollar question becomes, once again, I mean, repeating every offseason in the city is where do they go from here and what can they do to change this? Maddie, I'm at a complete loss. I don't know, like, after, you know, the whole venture of Bradley and Defoe fails, there was people talking about winning like, the MLS Cup. Exactly. And so, like, playoffs were supposed to be a mere foregone conclusion, a formality. Like, obviously, we have Defoe and Bradley, we're making the playoffs, and it still didn't materialize. So, I feel for the season seed holders out there. I
feel for the people who have to sell season ticket holders for TFC.
Them too, to try to do a positive spin on it.
They've called me a few times. Hello, Mr. Tidcombe, were you interested in the season? Nope. No, I am not. Thank you.
You said the same thing as D-Row. This isn't 2009.
Yeah.
Moving on to Vancouver, a much happier note. Talk about coming through in the clutch when, I think last week, Maddie, we gave them a very slim chance against Seattle. You thought no chance for sure, and they get a result. Huge.
Well, we said, you know, if they can get a draw, they'd be delighted with that result.
How about a win?
How about a win? Yeah. How about we just go to Seattle? Pretty much the toughest place to play in the MLS and just snag 3 points. Mana got the goal right on halftime. I mean, there's no way around it. This is their biggest result of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the one that keeps them still ahead of Portland, who did win at the weekend.
Portland's being pesky, though.
Yeah,
they just keep nipping at the heels.
They won't go away, will they?
I think Vancouver's going to have to clean up their own results to do this. I don't think Portland's going to roll over and give them anything.
Yeah, I got it right here. Vancouver's next game is home to San Jose. No, actually, they're on the road, to San Jose. Then they're at home to Colorado to finish the season. Portland hosts Real Salt Lake. Then they go to Dallas, which with Dallas already having a playoff point, kind of like New England for Toronto, if Dallas already having a playoff spot secured, you know, do they rest at one, or do they still try to kick them in?
I think North American sports people really believe in the concept of momentum, though.
Yes,
you know what I mean. Like, it's different with the playoffs. I know the resting argument. You see it a lot in the NFL, and then, you know, those old Manning and Colts teams would be one and done in the playoffs constantly.
Right.
Shout out 2005 Steelers. But I mean, at the end of the day, Vancouver's got to take their games. I think that's the one way they're going to be safe here, of course.
It's in their own hands, right?
Yes, and that's two games to play. They can't ask for better than that. And even if you compare the conferences, Matty, Vancouver on 46 is still probably going to have to pick up, I'm guessing, 4 points to finish at 50 to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Toronto, just 46 to even have a sniff, and it's unlikely. The Western Conference is just stronger.
It is, but then I think after you look after Portland, there's a bit of a drop-off.
A drop, yeah.
I think after we only have 4, 5, 6, and 7 listed here. But after Houston, I think Philadelphia are right there as well, just hanging around. So it's a little tighter in the East, but the West,
the quality's higher.
Has a bit, yeah. You know, a few more superior players, shall we say. I mean, just look at Los Angeles, for example. But TFC saw that up and close and personal, unfortunately. But, you know, I mean,
I still like Vancouver's chances.
I do too.
Yeah.
Every time, if we come in next week and they're still fifth and 1 point ahead of Portland, I still like their chances.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. They just have to match Portland's result. Yeah. Portland lose. I mean, if Portland lose and Vancouver win, last game doesn't even matter.
Just the bizarre nature, too, Matty, of footy, that Toronto FC's comeback win, which for them now isn't probably going to do much good, this probably could very well save Vancouver and get them into the playoffs.
Which, Canadians
being Toronto previous. Take credit for that playoffs? They need something.
Yeah, maybe. Vancouver might give them a shout out on Twitter. Who knows?
Maddie, moving on to Euro qualifiers. It was a huge full slate of games here. I think it was spread over, what, 5 days?
Yes.
And today we saw a little bit of magic and excitement, I guess, for lack of better words. Germany and Ireland, we watched live the Ireland equalizer.
John O'Shea. Remember that guy who won?
Everything goes through him offensively, doesn't
it? Absolutely. That center half.
You won just build around him. Yeah.
Multiple trophies with Manchester United and a last-minute goal. I mean, it was a great finish as well. Outside of his right foot, just snipping in across.
What a massive result for Ireland.
Huge result for Ireland. Huge result. But on the flip side, Germany has 2 points dropped.
And again.
But then they lost to Poland in their other
2-0.
Game. 2-0.
And they're, I guess, in some ways fortuitous to get by the Scots 2-1 in an increasingly tightening group now.
That's a really good group all of a sudden, yeah. I guess the other, from today, this today being Tuesday, Portugal last-minute win against Denmark, and they really needed that one.
Yeah, and it was really last minute. I think it was the 95th minute into injury time.
Cristiano.
Yeah, who else? Nanny? No, of course not. Helder Postiga? Just kidding, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Did you see that? This is very slightly off topic, but you mentioned in Nanny, remember this. In his game, he plays at Sporting Lisbon on loan right now from, is it United? Wherever it is. And he was... Rob just demolished
his
microphone with his hand, but anyway, Nani's sprinting down the wing with the ball, and this guy overlaps him. That guy being the referee, who does Nani pass to?
The referee. Yeah, I guess that summarizes that's my thoughts on Nani. Pretty much
how his career is downward spiraled pretty quick.
Some of the other results today, Matt. We just mentioned Poland, Scotland. 2-2 in Poland. I think Scotland a good result for Scotland. Well. Even though Scotland was winning, I think they'd be happy with that result going in, keeping them alive. And the situation the Poles found themselves in, they're probably happy to nick a point too. So
yeah, it's a bit of a letdown not to beat in Germany, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first time Poland ever beaten Germany ever in like international soccer, and obviously with all the political history as well. That was a big day for Polish football on Saturday, I think it was. So, I guess nothing else really today.
Well, Greece and
Northern
Ireland
winning at Greece.
In Greece, 2-0.
Never
good.
We've been debating this for the last few weeks now, especially when the Euros come around about the Euro 2016 format now with
changes,
24 teams and not 16. But the reason I'm in favor of it more than Rob is the fact that some of these lesser teams get a chance to play in a major tournament, like maybe Northern Ireland or Republic of Ireland or even Scotland, which for me is, you know, it's more football, but gives these other countries something to play for rather than, you know, just having to play, you know, a dozen qualifying games and then sit at home and watch a tournament like they do every year.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'm a little more torn. I when you look at it, it's more soccer at the end of the day, and I mean,
right.
I'm not going to complain about more
money
soccer,
as well in this,
but always my, you know, strong argument was I was always a firm believer, Matt, that the Euro tournament was better quality tournament top to bottom,
than
all
the
teams
Cup?
Than the World Cup,
yeah,
and I preferred it. There was very few like minnow, you know, rollover type games.
Right.
It doesn't happen very often, and just qualifying for the Euros is a massive achievement. Now, we mentioned it before, like you said, and we saw someone tweeting online about England before. Basically, the fact that they're already in means that this tournament qualifying system isn't correct. He's like, if I can't envision England screwing up, it's not legit. So
right.
At the end of the day, I mean, more soccer, great. But I mean, what kind of matches are we going to get? I guess we won't know until the tournament comes along.
Right. Speaking of England, 5-0 against San Marino on Thursday. We're just going to run through each day quickly some results here. England, no worries.
Slovakia 2, Spain 1.
Yeah, and good old Iker Casillas had a bit of a... I watched this goal, and it's a blunder, don't get me wrong, but I think he's getting more criticized than maybe he deserves. I mean, it was swerving a bit. Maybe because I'm a goalie, I might want to defend him a little more here. It was bad, though. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you it's not, but that's a poor result for Spain.
Luxembourg scored 2 against Macedonia. Macedonia did win 3-2, yeah, but, I mean, conceding 2 at home to a team of that quality?
Yeah.
You don't want to see that happen.
Switzerland lost again to Slovenia 1-0.
Yeah, shout out my be careful game. Switzerland at Slovenia, and Switzerland comes away with nothing from that one. Not a good result.
What else we got here? Sweden 1-1 Russia, 1-1. Russia. That was a good result for Russia, really, at the end of the day.
Moving on to Friday, we saw Holland 3, Kazakhstan 1, but now we know what else Holland did as well, or didn't do, I guess we should say.
How do you lose 2-0 at Iceland?
Yeah.
Can you name... Sigurdsson.
Sigurdsson, yeah.
He's the guy who scored both goals, but... Still, I mean, Holland, like, come on.
It's a bad, bad.
That's a terrible
bad
result.
Shout out to you for Bosnia-Wales, too.
Yeah, what was the score there?
0-0.
Yeah. And Wales are sticking around. They're doing all right.
Not too bad. Happy on the road. 3 points. Croatia did beat Bulgaria 1-0 in Bulgaria.
It's a good win.
There was a little bit of fan unrest there. I know some friends of mine, some fellow Croatians, weren't thrilled. I think as a people, we're way too perfectionist. I told them at the end of the day, hostile environment, 3 points, I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
That's what Italy does all the time. Speaking of Italy, natural segue. 2-1 over Azerbaijan. Matty, that tie I pleaded for very nearly materialized in this one. Chiellini with the unorthodox hat trick too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Two goals and then an own goal for the Azerbaijan goal. The thing with European qualifiers is that you just got to get the result. It's the only thing that matters. A couple of quick reserve results from that Friday. Turkey 1, Czech Republic 2. That's a great win for the Czechs. Belgium smashed Andorra 6-0. And Malta 0, Norway 3 for those of you who live in Malta or Norway.
I guess Gibraltar picked things up, losing only 3-0 today instead of 7-7.
Yeah, that
just a field goal, not two touchdowns this time.
Robbie Keane scoring again, as he always does for Ireland.
Yeah.
Ireland, especially after the World Cup qualifying in 2010 when they got robbed by France because of the handball thing.
Yeah.
That this is one country I am rooting. I'm part Irish as well, which maybe helps. But I am kind of rooting, for Ireland to make it in, because it'll be good to see them. They deserve it as well, to actually finally make a major tournament.
Well, yeah, they were at the Euro 2012, Republic of Ireland, but they weren't in the World Cup.
Were they?
Yeah, don't shake your head at me. They were in Croatia's group.
Were they really?
Yeah, with Italy and Spain.
How do I forget
Euro
this?
Euro 2012.
Huh. I'll take your word for it. But they
trust me. One of the rare times in tournaments I've been happy, because Croatia won that game 3-1, so I remember it quite well.
Oh, there you go.
Denmark-Albania, 1-1 in Albania. And yeah. I know it's a tough place to play, but Denmark's got to be disappointed.
Albania got 4 points in their first two games. They beat Portugal, remember, 1-0 on the road.
Yeah, I mean, nothing to sneeze at. Their performance. Greece also tying Finland. They're just dropping points left and right.
Faroe Islands lost 2-0 Northern Ireland for those who care. Armenia 1, Serbia 1. Good home draw for Armenia,
Serbia,
if anything.
Yeah.
Where are we at? Oh, we got to go for our notes here. Sunday, Ukraine, only 1-0 over Macedonia. For what? Anyway. England 1, 1-0 at Estonia.
Disappointing.
Took us a long time to get going.
And then you guys were a man up, I think you said.
Yeah,
too,
Estonia were playing with 10 men for quite a lot of the second half. Rooney scored a really nice free kick, though, to win the game. He's inching closer now to the all-time record for England goals.
I think internationally?
Yeah, internationally. I think he needs 50 to break the record. I think he's at 43 or 44, so he's getting there. He'll get that soon anyway.
Russia 1-1 with Moldova at home. That's a miserable
result for
them.
Spain got back to winning form against Luxembourg 4-0. Sweden beat Liechtenstein 2-0. And then just moving to Monday, Kazakhstan 2, Czech Republic 4. That's a lot of goals for some reason.
Yeah. It's almost like they're playing each other in hockey international or something.
Yeah, that good matchup though.
Yeah, the aforementioned 2-0 Iceland over Netherlands. Matty, I think we touched on it before. We both expected a drop off for Holland. I think I mentioned specifically that I thought they weren't going to be a bona fide threat going forward. I know, the new format, they're not really in a ton of trouble yet, but they've really, really looked bad thus far.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think we were speaking about it after the World Cup. Our Holland are contending for Euro 2016, and we were like, they are, but they are slowly going downwards. And
they're trending down.
We expected it to be this bad, because they are falling fast.
Yeah, it's almost like a rock out of the sky.
I mean,
this
wasn't like Netherlands weren't playing any. Like, they had RVP out there and Robin, and all the guys. Like, I mean, they didn't put out a weak team. They put out their full strength side, and they got flat out lost, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no way to look at that.
We did quite well, actually, Matty, on our watch out picks. Another one of me that I got right. Bosnia, Belgium, 1-1.
It's a good waypoint there for Belgium.
It is, but I didn't expect them to be able to get max points there, and I think it's not a bad result for Bosnia either. Keeps them in the hunt in that group. You don't want to drop three.
Yeah, it's kind of a good result
for both
in a way, right?
Yeah.
Wales beat Cyprus 2-1. That's a game they had to win. Croatian boys had a nice day.
Oh, Croatia slaughtered Azerbaijan. I watched that. You almost started feeling bad. I mean, it was nice to finally see that really convincing result. I like the formation. Coach Niko Kovac throughout there was extremely attack-minded. Kramaric from Rijeka, who I mentioned, is going to be on a lot of people's radar come the transfer season, scored the opener. A brace for Perisic, who's back for an injury. He's in great form. Modric bagged one in, too. It was more who didn't score at this point in a game when you're winning 6-0. But it sets up a really juicy match, the Croats against the Italians in November.
It's a big game.
It's going to be a fantastic game.
Both on 9 points.
Yeah.
I mean, I think both teams have basically got their qualification secured already.
In a weird way, I almost think both teams would be cool with a tie in that game, because it put them safe to progress.
I think they're safe anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, very safe.
Gives them an extra point.
The buffer.
Moving forward.
Italy 1-0 over Malta.
It's hard to say not a good week, because they got 6 points, but they didn't. Not convincing. Norway won again against Bulgaria. The other thing we need to touch on from today is the Serbia-Albania game.
Yeah.
It was 0-0, but it was abandoned just before halftime. A drone flew in with an Albanian flag into the stadium. Some of the Serbia players pulled down the flag on the field.
Albanians got pissed.
And the Albanian guys obviously didn't like that. And they started fighting. The fans started fighting.
Yeah, there were definitely a few fists thrown out there. It was really sad sight to see, unfortunately. You never want to see a match abandoned like that.
And not at all, because it's going to have
the security level too, Maddie, of being able to somehow allow a drone with that to come into the stadium. Even if you see it coming, that no one stops it sooner, like, just brutal. It's really sad sight and really unfortunate. It's going to be interesting to see what FIFA is going to do about that. I have no guesses, but there's going to probably be some
there'll
kind
be
of discipline.
Empty stadiums and money fines and
something,
maybe some points. I'd be curious to see if they actually replay that game or continue it on at some point. Anyway, we'll leave that in FIFA hands, thankfully.
Maddie, moving on to the big European leagues. Now that the Euro Cup break is over, all the big leagues are getting back into action again. Starting with the Premiership, what are you paying attention to this week?
The biggest game this week is the Man City and Tottenham. It's the only, like, shall we say, big teams playing each other. Man City second in the league, Spurs in sixth place, that is. Man City at home, so you'd have to probably give City the edge here.
2-1 City?
Yeah, maybe something like that. City need to catch up with Chelsea as well and make sure they keep winning. Speaking of Chelsea, they're home to Crystal Palace. So, it'd be nice to see Palace maybe do something, but I wouldn't bank on it too much.
Chelsea's form has just been too
good. They're too good right now. Yeah. The other big teams, Arsenal host Stoke. No, they don't. Sorry.
Hull.
Arsenal host Hull. Stoke play Swansea, for those who are interested. Man U play West Brom and QPR play Liverpool. Southampton as well, who are still third, in case you'd forgotten. They play Sunderland at home, so a good chance for the Saints to pick up another 3 points
to keep that going, what about La Liga? We got Levante, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Eibar, Atletico, and Espanyol. You'd think it'd be fairly comfortable for the big three here?
You would think so. Real Madrid shouldn't have any problems. Levante are 17th in the league. Eibar, we've got that. They're 9th. Still should be a problem, though, at the end of the day. And Espanyol are Espanyol in this league, Rob? They got them 8th. Same points as Eibar on 9 points.
Espanyol, Atletico, that could maybe be interesting, possibly.
If it was the other way around, if Espanyol are at home, maybe. Atletico at home, they should not run away, but they should pick up 3 points there. The other two teams we should mention as well, Deportivo hosts second place Valencia, and Elche play hosts Sevilla. And Valencia are second, Sevilla ranked third in the table right now.
Moving over to Bundesliga, we got Bayern and Werder Bremen. That has the potential to be a juicy one. Wolfsburg, Freiburg, Cologne, Borussia Dortmund, Stuttgart, and Bayer Leverkusen. Leverkusen, Matty.
Trying not to mess that up this week. Yeah, the Bayern-Werder Bremen game is a game we'd be cool about. The only problem is Bayern Munich are first in the league and Werder Bremen for DFL, they're last in the league. they're 18.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking more of the table. Historical sense.
Name sense, yes. But in terms of current
form,
couldn't be literally any further from each other. Wolfsburg, Freiburg.
We're going to call Werder Bremen Newcastle-y at this point, or a little lower than they should be, probably. I don't think many people have been pegged for dead last.
But the Bundesliga, we've said the last few weeks, it's been so weird. Yeah. I got the table here. Bremen are 18th, Hamburg are 17th, and Stuttgart are 16th, and Dortmund are 13th, Schalke 11th. Like, it's so far backwards. And then
you got to feel like there's going to be some movement here. I can't see,
there might be, but the problem is Munich are looking at this table and thinking, all right, we're 5 points clear of Bayer Leverkusen already. We're what? 9 points clear of Schalke. We're 10 points clear of Dortmund, or like
13 from Bremen.
yeah. Goodbye, Bremen. But I mean, you're looking at the table, and Bayern Munich are like, all right, well,
we can lose maybe four times
and still probably win the league. I mean,
I think the mid-level, you're going to see some movement, though. I don't think it's going to stay the way it is.
Yeah, Dortmund aren't going to finish 13th from the table, but they got to start playing, for Champions. I mean, assuming they don't win the Champions League, they got to play for Champions League spots. So they got to get moving. They play Cologne away this weekend, who are above them in the table. So, I mean, there's another way to look at it. I mean, Hoffenheim and Mönchengladbach are second and third right now on 13 points. So they keep, they're hanging around too. So
say Mönchengladbach 3 times fast.
Mönchengladbach.
Not bad, Matty. Showing off on footy round.
Absolutely.
Over here.
Call them Crystal Ladies.
Where are they? Yeah. The last league, Matty, Serie A.
Roma play Chievo at home. Roma looking to rebound after that interesting and dubious loss to Juventus.
We got Zaza versus, I'm sorry, Sassuolo versus Juventus.
Yeah, Sassuolo, yeah.
What were you going to say, Zaza? Versus, yeah. It basically will be.
Yeah.
Inter-Napoli's a big one.
Yeah, Inter-Napoli is probably the game of the week, almost across Europe to some extent. Inter Milan need to get going, as do Napoli. Both have had slower starts than we're used to them seeing, and AC Milan play Verona. So, you know, I mean, there's three or four good games in each league this week, but there's no, take out Inter-Napoli, there's no massive, you know, mouth-watering game, but there are some good matchups that are gonna.
Yeah, if you could catch any match, I'd probably say it'd be Inter Napoli or Man City. Tottenham would probably be the ones that would stand out to
me. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
And your Man U are at West Brom too.
Yeah, they play West Brom, and that's a Monday night game. So
gotta have
not
those.
My Man U literally. But just
is Man U selection. Rob still, for clarification.
Rob still rubbing.
I'm still floating on cloud nine here. Chelsea versus Man U.
But hey, man. We look at this table. Who are fourth in the table now? Man United.
They're hanging.
They've come back. I mean, they're 8 points behind, so they're not doing all that well.
For the sake of the listeners, who's first in the table?
Yeah, Chelsea.
We'll end it on that happy note. Footy Roundup, thank you for listening.